Welcome to the Humans for SDGs podcast,
where we feature everyday individuals who are taking action for the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals.
These 17 Sustainable Development Goals aim to transform the world by year 2030 by eradicating poverty, protecting the environment, achieving prosperity, and ensuring peaceful and just societies through multi-sector partnerships. This podcast is brought to you by the 2030 Youth Force in the Philippines.
So welcome everyone to the second episode of Humans for SDGs podcast. I'm one half of your hosts for today, Brex Arevalo. With me is my beautiful co-host, Miss Aya Antonio.
Hi everyone!
And with us today is a very special guest, our SDG 7 ambassador in the 2030 Youth Force in the Philippines, the project lead for the community-based project, Project Liab, which recently won the most outstanding sustainable development project in the Ignite Manila Awards, or was it a finalist? He is currently working as a supply chain professional at Procter & Gamble Philippines. Give it up for Mr. Jael Mendoza.
Hi, Jael! Jael, tell us about your advocacy. How did you get started in this work for renewable energy?
So I think it all started with the backgrounds, the people I've been hanging around back in college. So I studied chemical engineering in UP Diliman. I was active in a lot of organizations, mostly still on my engineering organizations and in the student council. So that's how most of my immersion, I'd say, or like exposure to people or to like issues in the societies began. I got more in depth and like more inspired into like doing something more than just like making campaigns out there. Back in college, when I tried pulling off a very small community development project while I was in the student council, and that's when I figured out that okay, it feels really great to like start something that is very community centric and which really impacts people in that level. That's how it started on that aspect of my advocacy. On renewable energy per se, I think it was just more of my affinity with people who are in the engineering background or courses. So definitely, I think among the more relevant issues that we manage in the engineering aspect is energy, right? Same as in with infrastructures or with water and other social utilities. I think energy is like one big pillar of what we are managing as engineers and what we should like advocate as engineers in the Philippines. Eventually, I got into conferences. I got into boot camps, trainings, which like somehow honed my background on renewable energy. And I think that's how I started off and dominoed into like what I'm doing now as an SDG 7 ambassador.
Can you tell us about a little bit about Project Liab and how that thing all started?
Project Liab, yes. So I've been doing Project Liab for the past 2 years. It initially started like just a concept, like in my head. Right after I graduated from college, I went into a program in Thailand, in Bangkok, funded by the UNDP. And we had to go into like a community there, somewhere in the northern part, like borders of Myanmar. It was an agricultural community, actually. And then we were like asked to make a renewable energy project there in the community. So what we had back then, when I came, was I figured out that it wasn't just renewable energy per se that is the main problem, because like I think more than the access to energy, people have issues on like the conduciveness of the community where they live in. So something has to do with healthcare, something that has to do with livelihood and all that. I think that's when it dawned on me that energy will never be like a primary problem. It will never be a Filipino's or anyone's first point of issue, but it will always have to be something that impacts their life more straightforward, like poverty or like hunger or like health, which impacts the family and the community more gravely than the access to energy. And so being an SDG 7 ambassador, I figured that I think I cannot just focus onto energy per se, but it has to be something that the community is really concerned about or the community will have more affinity to, which is economic livelihoods. And in this case, what we're doing now is like making renewable energy a way for them to access economic livelihoods. So that's how Project Liab all started. I got back in the Philippines after the Thailand conference and then figured to like propose it to 2030 Youth Force that time when still under the leadership of Jules. And definitely with all the blessings and the support of the whole national core, then it became a reality. And so that's where we are now.
Right. Can you tell us more about where Project LIAB is right now and how can we take this forward, and maybe some of our listeners would want to be part of Project LIAB. How can people get on board?
So where Project LIAB is right now is essentially where we left about 4 months ago, a little bit prior to ECQ, a little bit prior to the holidays of November, December of last year. We were able to complete like at least the main pillars of what we expect for the community we're working on. So for those who are not familiar, we're working on a community in Mabalacat, Pampanga. It's an Aito community there, situated in the mountains in Mabalacat, Pampanga, called City Haduan, about 100 to 150 households in the area. Essentially, we started with like installing solar lamps and all that. And then we capped it off with a big project in partnership with Clark Water, which is essentially to put up a solar-powered water system in the community, because I think the main issue they were having then was the access to water, potable water, and water they can use for cooking or hygiene. We were able to like it via the solar water, the solar-powered water system. We ended there until we had to go on a break. A lot of my teammates in Project LIAB are still students, and I'm proud to say that they are doing this even while being students. They had to graduate and I made them focus on that. I had to focus on work. We wanted to get back initially early this year on Project LIAB, but with the situation we're on, we're having challenges into like fulfilling a community-centered project at the moment. Right now, what we're working actually is for Project LIAB to a little bit go online and a little bit off of the track of a community development project, but rather to create platforms to empower future energy savers in the community. So stay tuned, but we're working on a virtual symposium on energy. It's a mix of a hackathon and a mix of a seminar series where energy enthusiasts or just any SDG youth advocates would want to enroll. I brought this up with my co-ambassadors lately, and we're very much open into like making it a collaboration across different SDGs. So stay tuned on that. Right now, what we're just working on is a lot of online social campaigns on how do we save energy while being at home. I think being quarantined at home is leading a lot of us into consuming more and more energy. So I think we need to find ways into like saving still and being responsible consumers of energy despite the situation.
Awesome. I was just wondering, Hael, I heard recently that there are some indigenous tribes in the Amazon who are having trouble with COVID. I'm just wondering, and I hope that it's not the same case there in with the Aitas.
So we're in touch actually with the community still via one of our partner organizations, Project Kaluguran. They were the ones who's been partnered with us ever since we started working with the City of Haduan community. So as far as they have informed us, there is no cases yet of COVID in the community, which is good. However, we do get like inputs from them that they require a lot of healthcare exposure and healthcare help right now, because net of COVID, I think they're still susceptible to other diseases at the moment. And given the tight situation that they can't go down from the mountains and that there's no like near or easy access for healthcare services from them in the mountains, then that's leading to other healthcare problems net of COVID. That's something that we'd want to work on. I think Project Kaluguran is working on efforts right now into like getting those healthcare's help into the community. And hopefully once we are out of the woods, we get to go back to them and like see the improvements in the community and that they're still well and fine.
Right. So we also see how energy is not an isolated matter. It's not an isolated issue, but also that the community needs would also have to be addressed, and there are other factors affecting, you know, the welfare of everyone in the community. So talking about the Humans for SDGs, as advocates, we also face challenges. And now that we're in quarantine, we have limited chances of interacting really with the community. So you've mentioned digital means of pushing for your advocacy. How are you adapting? How are you mobilizing your team? And what's it like for advocates like you these days?
As an advocate who's been like the type to really go more practical into like dealing with people, engaging with stakeholders and communities, it's a bit hard on that aspect, especially now that everything has to be virtual. What I learned, I guess, in the methods that what we do in the company where I work in my private company, is that it has to be business as usual, right? So there may be like ill circumstances like this and barriers into communication and in like working, but we have to make do of what we have. And I think us being gifted right now with knowledge and aptitude into using social media and all that, it's been very helpful still. I'm glad that I have a team working with me in Project Lia who are still very active despite the situation. And are still like finding ways into like how do we make our campaign and our inputs still relevant despite the situation. What we got from that during one of our brainstorming session about 3 weeks ago, I think, with Project Liab team is that this is the best time that people, most of the youth who is our target audience, consumes more information online than ever. Right now, I'm talking about millions of Filipino youth out there just streaming through Netflix or just watching in YouTube or just going through Twitter or Instagram. And they're consuming that much amount of data and information right now. And we need to find our place there. We need to find how we can utilize this media into still like making sure that relevant information is like what's happening now. I may not be like, I would say proficient into like saying what the COVID situation is and what is its impact in general, but I would still want to forward that there is energy implications of being in this situation, which is what we're working on now. Definitely, I assume like in the next month or in the next few months, people will consume more energy with their stay at home, with how they're locked down and like bored to death, and how they consume like more energy using their laptops, their cell phones, their televisions, their air conditioners and everything. So that's where I want to play, and that's how we want to use media for.
You mentioned earlier, Kael, the work in your private company. I think it's Procter & Gamble.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, one of the things that I always remember about you is you're always saying that you're a full-time advocate. You know, that's something that's always sticks in my head. Oh wow, it's this dude. Yeah. And you know, you have your work with Project Liab and your other renewable energy advocacies. And then you have Procter & Gamble, a private business. And I've been hearing things about supply chain and how you guys are trying to make it a more sustainable business. Can you tell us a bit about that? And of course, what a supply chain is, for those who don't know.
I'll answer your first question and why I always say that I'm a full-time advocate. I recall I was in a conference, I think, or like in a seminar where I had the talk. Then there was another speaker who went through me. I won't name the person, but we had a conversation right after the event. So we were like exchanging numbers, exchanging information, like trying to get some network from each other. And then he mentioned that why am I doing this part-time? He's saying like, why are you a part-time? How is it being a part-time ambassador? I think that's how it was, non-verbatim, but that's how it came to me. Like, why are you doing this part-time? So it offended me a bit, but I mean, it offended me a bit in that aspect. But more than that, it was the first time I replied to him that I'm not doing this part-time. Like, I know I have other things in my plate that I'm currently like working on, but the level of affinity or connection I have with my advocacy is more, or even like, if not at par, is even more than the level of my connection to the work, to my actual work, to the work that pays me. And that's why whenever I go into talks and to like into presentations, I always say to young advocates listening to me that I'm a full-time advocate. And that's because I don't want them to think about sustainable development or any advocacies per se that they're doing to be like a side job, because it doesn't have to be. Like, it's something you can do full time together with other things, and that's the beauty of it. Definitely from time to time you get to miss out on things because you have to make priorities, but at the end of the day, if you were going to choose what reasons to live you are for, or what reason do you have to be of service to others, it will be your advocacy and definitely not your, less than your work. At least for me, that's how I think of it. So that's answering that question and why I always say it's full time. What I do in PNG as a supply chain manager, I'm doing a lot of end-to-end planning. So essentially how the products are made, if you know, like, I'm not going to plug, I don't know if I should plug my brands here, but essentially I make household products like Downy and Joy, for example, Joy dishwashing liquid. So these are like homegrown Filipino brands that we know and love and we use every day. And I'm really happy that I get to work with a company like this who makes brands very close to the Filipino family's heart. But more than that, what I do on the technical side is really planning to make products are always available for everyone across the Philippines and whenever it's needed, especially in trying times like this. Dishwashing liquids, for example, are more in demand now because people are cooked home more versus like going into restaurants, etc. So we're spending a lot of my efforts in the past few days into making sure there are dishwashing liquids on shelves for people who need it. And what we're doing from a sustainability aspect of that, very much close to what you mentioned, Brex. We are trying to make things more sustainable, but more than that, in these trying times, we have done, and I think the company of PNG have succeeded into bringing in relevance. Right now, we are in the Philippines, we are also makers of famous baby care brands like Pampers and female brands like Whisper. We were able to make one of our paper lines in the in our plant in Laguna into a safety mask production line, which we are making use to provide to all our frontliners who are in the supermarkets right now, who are merchandisers distributing products here and there across the Philippines, and which we are also using into donating into our healthcare frontliners. On our side, in the consumer goods industry, we have healthcare frontliners out there, but definitely a big frontliners and a big heroes for us are also those who are working in the supermarkets, who are still working and ensuring that everything there is doing well to serve everyone.
Right. That's beautiful, Hael, no, what you said about how you're a full-time advocate. And as you explained also in your full-time job, the paying job, it really translates. And I think advocates should also hopefully find that focus and that purpose, because when you have that value in your purpose, it kind of transcends across all other aspects of your life. And it doesn't have to like start and in between the hours that you're awake and the time that you have to go to work again. You know, because sometimes advocates like us, we try to manage our time and say, okay, I'll do this after my work hour. And then that's what we count as our volunteer time or advocate time. But what you're saying is that, no, I'm a full-time advocate. My entire life actually is about, you know, pushing for the things that I believe in, like SDG 7, for example, and how it translates to your other aspects of your life. And I think that's a great takeaway for today. But maybe, Hael, as we progress in this discussion, let's acknowledge some of the challenges maybe that you also experience as an advocate. You've been in the energy sector from college as you study it. You look for innovations, etc. What are the challenges that you see in the sector? And what are your personal challenges also?
Let me start with the challenges I'm seeing in the sector. I think one, the energy sector in general is very political. I wouldn't delve into what the difficulty of politics it is there, but among the many sectors that we're working on right now, I think energy is one of the biggest political ground. There's a lot of big players that we deal with, both private and public and governmental institutions that we deal with. If we want to make like a very big change in our energy landscape right now, we're talking about industry tycoons, we're talking about big government agencies, and we're talking also about the big local governments who are also involved, because there's a lot of capital investment and infrastructure that is involved in this energy sector. So making that big change on that aspect is very political, and there's a certain level of grit and a certain level of strength that you will need if you want to go by that sector, because a lot of the things that we need to change in the energy aspect are really policies that are already in place. Going into the community level of it, I would say the key challenge is still energy is not a key priority for many, especially for like talking heart to heart with a Filipino household, right? It wouldn't be energy that will come into their mind if you ask them what's their top issue. It will be food, probably it will be like wages, or probably it will be education or health, which is very much like what I mentioned earlier, acceptable with what's happening. I think human behavior, human nature will always lead you into like being more close and more close into trying to solve problems that impacts you day by day, unlike energy. However, a lot of the fortunate things that has happened in my experience with Project Liab is that people now are getting more access into information and into data, which tells them that there are renewable energy alternatives, for example, that there are accessible and affordable technologies that they can use in order to access energy in general. So that's a great thing. and we're like slowly going there. Where I am right now as a youth advocate is still ensuring that the youths, more than the communities we're working with, are strong enough with this foundation so that they can also make more people informed with it. Because unlike healthcare or unlike education, we would want to make energy a mainstream agenda. Personally, being an advocate, I think the main challenge would be burnout. I think in general, being an active youth leader, for example, if you guys are in college right now, leading an organization, being an officer, I think you've felt or experienced this before, like feeling like you have to balance it with academics, with your social life, balance it with whatever organizational or like extracurricular activities you're doing. You always get burnt, and it's fine. It's fine to feel tired, but it's about like ensuring that you have enough rest and finding recreation, maybe with your friends. Then putting yourself up, brushing it off, and like continue your work. At the end of the day, it will pay off in more meaningful ways than what you expect. And that's what I've also experienced. I've been burned out a lot of times and felt tired and exhausted a lot of times. I didn't give up. I just chose to rest, stop, ensure that people around me are informed and that I continue again. That's a key learning that I want to share with everyone.
All right, Hael, maybe just to wrap things up a bit, do you have any plans maybe for the rest of 2020 and leading up to 2021? And do you want to plug in anything?
Definitely. So Project Leah will light up again. That's what we're seeing in the group. Right now, we're working on a lot of online projects, so stay tuned. But we're releasing already our Power Saver Quarantine Tips. It's a list of activities where we got one of our teammates as a model. It's going to educate more people about how to save energy while you guys are at home, because I don't know until when we're going to be like inside our home. So let's be smart energy savers while we are at home. We don't want our electric bills to blow it up right after this or putting the situation. So that's one. We're working on the hackathon I was mentioning earlier. We're trying to collaborate it with other SDG ambassadors. So stay tuned on that one. It's going to be a very nice curriculum-based bootcamp. It's a mix of leadership training and a project management hackathon for everyone who is interested into like solving problems for the global goals.
Wonderful. Thank you, Al. I am personally excited for the things lined up for our SDG 7 advocates and our SDG advocates in general, especially with the 2030 Youth Force. But also maybe before we wrap things up, I would like to really highlight what Hael said. It's still in line with energy and how we need to make sure that our energy, personal energy, is also sustainable.
Yes.
We also need to rest. Like batteries gotta recharge.
Guys, we're not machines.
What's important is that we keep our communication lines open so that we can inform the people around us. Thank you, Al, for the wisdom.
Yes, see you guys. Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Humans for SDGs podcast. This has been Brex Arevalo.
This has been Aya Antonio.
Please tune in to our next episode where we will be featuring more individuals who are taking action for the UN SDGs.
This podcast is brought to you by the 2030 Youth Force in the Philippines. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/YouthForcePH.